Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I want to tell you a story about something that happened, well, it was actually a couple of years ago. I was in Richmond, Virginia, and I was getting ready to do a seminar there. As a matter of fact, I think it was on the second day. Cheryl and I were staying in a motel, very lovely place, and it was early in the morning, and I was getting dressed. My mind certainly was on the seminar, and I was praying about the day and knew what I was be talking about, doing a seminar on formational prayer at the Healing Place. And all of a sudden, I looked on the floor in this motel room, and there on the floor was a withered grape. And I don't know why, it just captured my attention. And there I found myself standing, looking at this withered grape that was over in the side. And I don't know why, I just couldn't get my attention off it. It meant nothing to me. It just was interesting to me that I was standing there like that. And finally, all of a sudden, I went over and I picked up this withered grape and I put it in the trash. And Cheri and I got ready, and pretty soon we're in the car. And I would say we had a 20-minute ride over to the Healing Place where I was doing this seminar. Again, my mind was on the seminar, and as we were driving, we had the radio on, and there was a commentator on, and I don't even remember what station it was, but all of a sudden, he mentioned the word withered, and I thought, isn't that strange? I saw a grape that was withered. Now, he mentioned the name withered. Wow, I don't even use that word. It's come up twice today. So I didn't think much more about it, and I got to the seminar, and as usual, the seminar is beginning with worship, and people are seated around, and as usual, I took a seat way in the back, and I was sitting there, and the worship service was great, and Dr. Neil Seiler was leading, Proctor Beard was leading, they had a great worship team, and all of a sudden, I turned and I looked to someone beside me. Oh, they were four or five seats over. And as I looked at them, I sensed the Lord speak into my heart, that woman has a withered heart. I thought, a withered heart? That's not a phrase that I would use very much. This woman has a withered heart. And I began to pray about it, and I had this sense that the Lord was telling me that because of the burden of ministry and the difficulties of life, this dear lady was just completely drained. And so I thought about it, and I sat there, and I began to, if you will, pray for her. But pretty soon, the Lord was speaking to me and said, there are other people here. The same way, they have a withered spirit. I was so taken back by this withered notion, given that it's not a word that I use, that I really felt that it was, in fact, the Lord who was stirring me. And so once again, I began to pray and ask the Lord what it is that I'm to do. And as the music came to an end and the people were worshiping very robustly, the Lord told me to just sneak up, and before everything quieted down for me to start teaching, that he had a word that he wanted me to give the congregation. And so I did that, and I asked the worship leader to just give me a moment, and this fantastic pianist named Jonathan continued to play. And I just boldly asked, and I remember saying, I don't know that this will make much sense to anyone here today, but I have this sense that the Lord wants me to ask if there's anyone here today that has a withered spirit. And I started to decide I was going to explain what I meant by withered spirit, talk about that someone that's dried out, they feel empty and lifeless inside. But before I could even get to that description, a man stood and he began to weep. And I had met that man just the day before, and I knew that he was a pastor of a rather large church. And he began to weep, and I encouraged a caregiver to go and pray with him. And all of a sudden, other people began to stand. And out of this crowd of maybe 100 people, there must have been 30 people there that began to stand and weep, because something about this notion of having a withered spirit, a withered heart, really, well, it grabbed hold of them. Now, let me say this. These are good people. They had come to this seminar to learn how to position others for healing. So that was really great. These were people that were faithful and diligent, and they wanted to serve the Lord. And I'm sure in many ways, they were individuals who were, you know, very active in their local church. Some of them were pastors and so forth. But the truth of the matter is the Christian walk, boy, it isn't always easy. Certainly there is opposition that comes. But it's also true that many of us try to do the Christian life, well, in our own strength. Yeah, it's just a way we've been taught. You know, we're supposed to serve, give everything to the Lord. We work hard. And while Jesus said that he has an easy yoke for many people in the Christian ministry, it's not an easy yoke. It's a heavy burden, and the yoke doesn't fit real well. And so that's what was happening here. So I began to move caregivers around, and they started to pray for people, and there was a great sorrow. And then we invited the Holy Spirit to come and bring, if you will, a restoration, a renewal into hearts. And it translated into this amazing moment of worship, of adoration, of praise. And then we went on to talk about the whole idea of what is it that leads us to have these, if you will, withered spirit, withered heart experiences and seasons in our lives, which I think many of us have. I certainly have. Maybe right now you are experiencing that there is something empty, something dry, something lifeless inside. Well, the one thing I want to say is we shouldn't see that as normative. It shouldn't be the normal Christian life. Yeah, there's going to be times when the battle is tough. Paul told us that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I believe it is, or 15. He goes overboard to say that when doors open, opposition arises. But I think it's more than opposition that happens when we have this experience. I think what it is that, well, we're doing things too much in our own strength. And I think there's another thing that can lead to this experience of a withered heart is when we're not willing to deal with the unaddressed wounds of our own lives, wounds that have created all kinds of false beliefs and they stir us up emotionally, and then we battle to try to handle the pain of these emotions and these wounds in ways that we shouldn't. Wow, that can be a difficult time. And so I want to just take you for a few moments into Scripture, but maybe I should start by just challenging you to reflect on your own life and ask the question, are you in a season or coming out of season or going into a season that could be described by the word withered? Because Christian life is one of fruitfulness and abundance. That comes right out of John 15. You know that if we abide in Christ, we remain in him, we will bear good fruit, there will be joy, we will lay down life as we know it, and in turn we will advance the kingdom. That's what Jesus teaches us right out of Scripture. But there are times that we are worn out. Hey, I think it's important for me to say that it's not uncommon for people in ministry, whether it's vocational ministry or lay people, to just get worn down and worn out and actually to burn out. I remember years ago, an old pastor told me it's better to burn out than rust out. And I remember even then thinking, are those the only two choices? You either burn out or you rust out? We have to do more than survive. There has to be a thriving that's involved. And I think that's what God wants us to know and wants us to understand. And so there's this scripture that, well, I'm sure you've read it. It comes in 2 Corinthians, and it begins in chapter 4. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about difficulty, and he said this, since we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. You know, losing heart can be defined in the Greek, that word, as spiritless, lifeless, maybe empty, dry, these other words that I've been using already. So what Paul is saying, though, we have this ministry that God's given us by his mercy and grace, and we do not have a withered spirit. He goes on to talk about the fact that we don't use secret or shameful ways. We don't distort God's word. And he says, even if people don't see it and they're blinded to this great message, we continue to preach Christ because Jesus Christ is our Lord and we are his servants. And then he quotes the scripture that says, for God said, let light shine out of the darkness. And may his light shine out of our hearts so that other people could see the light and the knowledge of God's glory that's displayed in the face of Jesus. Now, that's an interesting phrase because one of the things we know is that There are numerous scriptures that talk about God's face shining on us, bringing light to us. Now, after Paul talks about this fact that he doesn't lose heart, he does admit something, that we've been given a great treasure, but it is in jars of clay. Okay, that we have surpassing power, but the surpassing power is placed in us in situations where it's not easy to always navigate. And then he goes through this little litany that I want to lift up to you. He says this: we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Now, that is a very interesting set of scriptures, because on the one hand, Paul is saying there will be times when we are hard-pressed, crushed, when we are persecuted, and when, in fact, we are struck down. Now, any of us that have known that can say, in some ways, those are the characteristics that led to having, if you will, an empty, dry, lifeless, withered spirit in our lives. But it's interesting because Paul goes on to say that though those things happen, we're not perplexed, okay? We're not in despair. We're not struck down. Do you see? We're not abandoned. This is very important, that even when things are very difficult, Paul is saying there is a way that we can hold on. There is a way that we can be strong. There's a way that we can continue on in our lives. And I think what Scripture is saying is that the way to go on is that we have to continually go within and see Jesus bring us new life. Paul even says, life is at work in us. Now, Paul goes on to say this: since we have the same spirit of faith, meaning Paul and all of us and you, because we know that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and all this benefit is ours, we therefore will not lose heart. We will not become lifeless. We will not have a withered spirit. And then he says this: though outwardly we are wasting away, which means we get older, it also means that we do face things. He says this: inwardly we are being renewed day by day. He even calls this light and momentary struggles. Now, I have to admit, when things are tough, it doesn't feel like life, light and momentary. It feels like it's never going to fall off and it's always going to be a big deal. But be that as it may, this phrase, renewed day by day, is something that I think is very, very important. Now, the word renew has so many connotations, but I would like to consider this. Some of the reason that I would lose heart is that I would lose sight of some very basic things: who I am in Jesus, the fact that the Holy Spirit abides in me, the fact that I walk in the authority of Jesus Christ, the fact that all the promises of God are yes in Christ for me. See, these are very important considerations, but I think what happens is when I get busy with ministry and I don't take time to really focus and get quiet and remember all of these characteristics and qualities that are true of me in Christ, that all of a sudden I drain, and then pretty soon I find myself again empty, lifeless, and dry. So renewed day by day, boy, I think that means several things. One of them is I need to every single day get myself quiet enough to recognize that God is with me, that His Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. I need to renew my understanding of who I am in Jesus Christ, that I have God's presence and power abiding inside of me, that I have authority that is mine in Christ as I sit in heavenly places, that I am not alone, but I am deeply connected to Christ. I need to remember these things and ask the Holy Spirit to bring them to my life in an ongoing renewal over and over and over again. Now, that's very, very important. Renewed day by day. Renewed in stillness, renewed in solitude, renewed through Scripture, renewed through running to the light, imagining prophetically, noticing the movement of God, giving thanks. I need to be doing those things over and over again. And when I do, The Holy Spirit has room to begin to renew me. So what Paul isn't saying is that life will be easy. He isn't saying there won't be difficulty. He is not saying there will not be trials. He is saying this, that if we are renewed day by day, that we come back home to the house of love, and we allow ourselves to soak there and be reminded of what is true of us, and that all the promises of God are yes for us in Christ, that daily renewal will sustain us and fulfill us. Now, I'm quite sure that if we had gone around and asked the people in that room that were standing up and saying that they were struggling with a withered spirit, how they got there, I am absolutely confident that they would say things like, I was wearing myself out working, I wasn't taking time for God, I wasn't in myself truly prioritizing the place of abiding, and as a result, I'm being drained. Look, we hold this promise and this power in jars of clay, and that means we're human beings. We don't have unlimited strength and unlimited energy, just as we have to eat every day and drink every day, and we need to rest every day. We need to be renewed every day in Christ. Please spend some time every day thinking about who you are in Jesus and all the blessings and promises that come with that. Spend some time remembering that the Holy Spirit lives within you and abide there and grow there. Spend some time, please. Remembering the authority that is yours in Christ, that you're seated with Him in heavenly places. This is what helps us be renewed day by day by day. Now, to do this, we have to be vulnerable. We've got to admit what's going on inside. You know, vulnerability plus grace equals transformation. Talk to some people in your circle of friends. Admit to them. Covenant with them that you need to spend some more time being renewed day by day so that you don't become lifeless, so you don't lose heart, but in fact, you don't end up needing to stand up someday and saying, yes, I am one with a withered spirit. Let's make a commitment together, okay? I think it's very, very important that you and I make sure we have the space to remember what is true of us in Christ, renew ourselves to those truths and those commitments, and in the end, we will find that God lifts us up and encourages us even the most difficult of times. God bless you. Don't forget we have websites and Facebook pages and free resources that are out there. There are also seminars coming, and we hope that you'll come to some of those and that God will use that to renew you day by day. God bless. Remember, His face is shining on you.